This is your host, Ronnie Fernandez, LCSW, licensed clinical therapist and owner of Ronnie Fernandez Therapy, but for guys. If you want to know more about me and my private practice, go to ronniefernandez.com. Hello and welcome to Mindset, the guy podcast, where men talk about their life challenges and how they were able to overcome them. My goal with this podcast is to help men better express their thoughts and develop a mindset to better deal with their life challenges. This podcast is not clinical therapy. The men that I interview are not my clients, but have great stories on how they were able to develop a mindset to conquer their challenges. I'm not a professional interviewer or host, so please forgive me for all the pauses, and misplaced words. With that being said, let me introduce you to my next guest. All right, Patrick, thank you for joining me for the podcast. Patrick reached out to me about an event that's going to come up here in Downey on November 9th?
Saturday, November 9th.
November 9th on Saturday here in Downey at Warren High School. The big thing is that you're talking about is fathers. I mean, it's called Father Con. And with my experience of the lack of fathers in the home and the lack of the importance of father we both thought it was really important for us to kind of hook up and to be able to have this conversation. So thank you for joining me, Patrick. And if you can introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about your background.
Okay. My name is Patrick Erlinson, and I've been working for 8 years with the Long Beach Human Trafficking Task Force, which at the time was kind of the closest task force to where I was living and to the community that I was living in. And so I started working on the prevention side of human trafficking. And that's kind of what has kind of led me to this kind of conclusion of seeing the significance of fathers and the lack of fathers. But before that, I lived in Japan for 8 years. I grew up here in Los Angeles. I have a Japanese wife and 2 daughters. And kind of have lived in Texas for 8 years. I worked in the art business. I organized projects that worked in Africa with children in Africa. And I've had experience. Like I've been to South America, Africa, to Israel, to Japan, Korea, Cambodia, different parts of the world. And everything has kind of brought me to this conclusion of the significance of fathers. And that in talking to survivors of human trafficking, especially, it became increasingly clear that and just vivid that so many girls have grown up either without a father in their home, and have an emptiness there. And that made them extremely vulnerable to someone coming in and promising them the world or saying that they were very beautiful and made it so easy for them to respond to that. And or they had a very abusive father and they're coming from a situation where they were escaping something, either with a father or a father figure.
Wow. And when was and is this the second? So we had talked earlier and that this is the second event. What is the event going to look like? What are you guys going to do during the event?
So the idea of holding a father conference or a father conversation. So that's where it was Father Con, and that related to we really need to begin this conversation among ourselves as fathers and for our future fathers. Like, you know, these young guys who are looking forward to becoming fathers, and they really don't understand or really see their significance. And so we really need to start this conversation. So what it looks like, it's an all-day event. It basically starts about 9 in the morning with the full program starting at 10 and going until 3. So we provide lunch so everyone can stay through the day. Incredibly insightful speakers. We have some great experts in different areas of kind of father life and also related to human trafficking or related to issues that are damaging now to the family, you know, such as pornography. Things that are really, really taking a toll on the family and especially on fathers' engagement and presence in their homes. So those things need to be kind of dealt with. We also wanted to bring together like a huge number of resource organizations so that there would be support for whatever situation fathers find themselves in. One of the funny things is when we called it FatherCon, we started getting calls from people who are convicts saying, like, I was in prison. Oh, this is for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we thought, yeah, there actually is a problem for fathers who went to prison for one reason or another, and now they really want to get back in the lives of their
kids.
Yes,
yeah.
And there's a lot of obstacles.
Yeah, there's that Project Fatherhood. It's a really great organization that works with fathers that have been incarcerated.
Right.
And there's just a lack of, I feel like there's an overall awareness of the importance of fathers, you know, I grew up like in the 90s, especially in the late 90s, I heard that you don't need a man, you don't need a father, but how important is it for the father to be involved in the child's life?
Well, this is one of the things that we didn't want Father Khan to be. It's not just kind of a blame and shame or just raising the alarm of when fathers aren't there, because there's a lot of information about that. And I think for me, the important thing is that we start really recognizing how important fathers are and the significance of fatherhood. And increasingly, there's scientific data that supports that. One thing that was kind of fascinating, you know, reflecting back on raising my daughters and reading to my daughters, was now they've shown that there's a 20% retention of language when a father reads, 20% more retention of language when a father reads to their child than when the mother does. And that's the when the mother reads, it's soothing, it's comforting. It's just this, you just melt into her arms and enjoy it and everything's good. When the father reads, it's, and then the lion came into the room and he roared.
Yeah.
It's dramatic. And so the child's brain is just firing. And so there's this leap in retention of language that comes from when a father reads.
Yeah.
And there's other data when a father gets down on his hands and knees and crawls around with a 6-month old.
Yeah.
That those children are less likely to get in fights when they're in high school.
Yeah.
So there's a whole development of the child that comes from interacting with a father who's really there for them.
Yeah, and there's a lot of statistics and data about rough and tumble play with fathers.
Yeah.
And how important that is, so they so boys and girls can understand the limits of playing with others, and that's a huge thing. And even with finding the balance within the child. Right. With the anxiety and the depression part of like when the mother needs to be nurturing, but yet you need that father to kind of like to do the encouragement of saying, okay, no, he or she can do it.
yeah, it's true. I think two of the things that really struck me about kind of the significance of fathers that came through research and also through a lot of conversations with especially survivors of human trafficking, were how important taking a risk is on the one hand. So children learn that they don't have to just always do the safe thing. They can actually explore the boundaries of their world through how fathers play with them. Fathers tend to hold the kids upside down and bouncing on the ground. The mother's freaking out and saying, don't do that. But actually those things really teach the child that they don't have to be afraid of everything in the world. And that is something that's really important as a child grows up. But it also has to be coupled with them developing the ability to determine what's safe and what's not safe. And overprotectiveness tends to kind of undermine that. But the other thing that really came through to me was having the sense that you're worth being loved comes from the father. The mother's love tends to be very unconditional. And so that's something that you can kind of just kind of bank on. It's like the mother's love is going to be there. Of course, this is a generality. And there are certainly cases. But this is not true.
Yeah.
But in general, the mother's love tends to be the one who takes care of, is providing the food, is making sure that you're okay when you fall down and hurt yourself and cut your knee. But if the father spends time with you, that means you're really valuable. And so you have children who develop a sense of self-worth because the father takes the time to be with them and shows up to their games and is present for them.
Yeah.
And so there's a difference, and both of those things are necessary. And in putting on the first Father Khan, one of the things I ran up against was a defensiveness about single motherhood. Mm. And as if, like, so if we say that fathers are important, fathers are really significant, fathers are necessary in the lives of children, then you have this defensive kind of reaction on the part of single mothers saying, you know, no, I did a great job. My kids are really healthy and normal and happy. And it's not to take anything away from anyone else. It's just there is a balance there. And I mean, even to the point where there was one study that the brain develops differently. If there's no healthy male figure in the lives of a child, the brain actually develops differently.
Yeah.
So it's not to take anything away from a single mother that's worked so hard and done so much and been responsible and raised her child. It's just that she shouldn't have had to.
Yeah.
It's just, you know,
yeah.
taking
yeah.
on taking on all of that responsibility is a massive undertaking. And a mother can't be a father. It's like the roles are different. The dynamic is different. So,
yeah, and it's understanding the it's not that it's putting down single mothers or even it's just really difficult to do two roles just for anybody. And then also we also need to challenge men and also have them understand the importance of their role, because if we're heard in our society where you know you don't need a man or in like stuff like that, it really devalues the man, and it really men need that challenge of saying, look, I'm important. I'm not just a provider, but I'm also a big important role in the child's life. And even back to rough and tumble play, that's how girls are able to develop relationships that are non-sexual, you know, that's a really big indicator of that as well. But yeah, I mean, I think we've downplayed it way too much, the importance of a father and a father being present. What are some of what are some of the things that you guys might cover during, do you guys have different speakers coming or, anybody will connect with some of the people that are listening?
One person, Scott Galbraith, is coming down, and he played with the Redskins and the Dallas Cowboys. I think he was in the Super Bowl when the Dallas Cowboys won. So he comes from a sports background. So he's going to be one of our speakers in the morning. He's now very active working with the Sacramento Kings football team. And he's been working a long time with men and with fathers. That's really a priority for him, which is one reason we wanted him to come down and be part of FatherCon.
Yeah.
So he'll kind of like set the tone for the event, you know, on the positive side of what men can be, should be.
Yeah.
You know, and really like what you're just saying, that we've downplayed our significance, we've downplayed our role, and we've been seen for such a long time as just the ATM machine of a family and not really a critical part of raising children. And so he's going to address, you know, some of that issue. We have Alan Smith, he's the executive director of Saving Innocence, which is one of the organizations, the first organization that worked with LA County in taking care of minor children who are trafficked. So we're talking 8 years old, 11, 12. And he's also the author of a book about the father-daughter relationship called Prized Possession. Okay. He's an incredible father, an incredible man working with his own family, but then also victims and survivors of human trafficking. We have a former trafficker from San Diego who grew up in the hood, and his role models were pimps and drug dealers, and he ended up going into that life. Several of his friends ended up dead or in prison. He ended up kind of seeing the light and turning his life around. So now he does trainings for the police. He does trainings for young men so that they don't follow in his footsteps. So he's got a very interesting perspective that he's bringing to it. We have presentations on pornography and the effect that it's having on families. It's not a question of if anymore, but when. And we're going to have to deal with these issues with our children. And also as men, we're all vulnerable. We all get pulled in the direction. And you know, I always use this analogy of getting on the freeway. I mean, you're sitting there before looking at the on-ramp, and you have a chance to decide to get on or not. And once you get on, you're in the slow lane, then you move over to the middle lane, and then you end up in the diamond lane, and it's really hard to get off.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things that we do as men that where we end up in a place very, very different from where we started out and where we really want to be. And now looking at up to 500,000 divorces a year that are related to pornography issues.
Yeah.
And erectile dysfunction problems. There's all kinds of things that are coming now because of the massive exposure to hardcore pornography through the internet. So that'll be something that we'll touch on. Foster care, foster parents, mentoring, how we need men to step up. We have a great guy coming from Texas who works with mentors and having men step up to take care of the boys in their community and girls in the community that don't have a dad. Yeah. That's something critical. So those are some of the issues. Also, one that's very important, our theme for this year is really being a father in the 21st century. And there are just unique challenges to fathers today that didn't exist at any other time in history with the internet.
Yeah,
we have, the FBI estimates 900,000 predators are online at any given time of the day or night. And they're looking for children who will talk to them. And if parents are not aware, if we don't understand the apps that children are using and how they're used by predators, we're basically letting strangers in the front door of our house and giving them access to our children. So the things that we really need to learn and know about as parents and as fathers today. So this is what we want to address, you know, through all of the speakers, through everything, is how do we become best equipped to do our job and do our job well so that, you know, we're happy and our kids are safe.
Yeah, and it's such a big thing because the roles of a father has changed a lot. I mean, just a couple of generations ago, it was just you get a job and, you know, you provide for your family, you drink some beers, watch some games, and that was pretty much it. But now there's definitely needs to be more of, I think, of a balance of the caretaking and of the, you know, of being aware of the issues that are coming up for your children. So what things can we do to, as I'm trying to think of a question of like, it's kind of hard to where can we start with this? Because to me, it's the biggest issue it's statistically and research shows that that's the number one indicator of success for a child is they have their father. It's not a death sentence. It's not like, it's not as if you come from a single mother home that nothing's going to, you know, work out for you. That's not the case. But if you're talking about statistics and data and stuff like that, it is very hard to be successful, you know, in life, the holistic kind of approach without a father. And so it's hard to think of just like a couple of questions for you because it's such a big deal that nobody's really talking about.
Right. Not nearly enough. Yeah. I think it is starting to rise and you're starting to see more kind of conferences dealing with fathers and the importance of their role. Not just in the home, but in their communities, because it spills over. And if you have engaged fathers, they influence and impact a much bigger circle than just their own kids directly. But I think that, you know, within communities, there really does need to be kind of, one example is schools. You have school meetings that need to be much more welcoming of dads. The schools need to be making effort to encourage dads to show up, more than just relying on mothers to do everything for the kids. So making a time when it's possible for dads to be there, and also creating an environment that's kind of approachable for men, that's going to be comfortable for men. Because when fathers are not taking an active role in their kids' education or not taking an active role in their kids, you know, what's happening with most of the hours of the day that their kids are alive, we're all losing, you know, we're all losing. So there needs to be, you know, that kind of support coming from within the education, you know, system and schools. I think there needs to be a lot within the faith community of addressing, you know, preparing guys for marriage. That there needs to be a whole lot more. I mean, it's more difficult to get a driver's license than to get married for many people. And yet the consequences are,
it's huge.
You know, massive. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we need to encourage, you know, much more kind of a preparation for marriage so that we're not getting involved in relationships that are going to produce children. And then, you know, the guy walks out.
And I know education is important. I mean, I definitely understand that, but there's definitely this, we're not addressing relationships and the importance of relationships. I mean, your job comes and goes and you have different career paths and it changes, all that kind of stuff. But if you're in a marriage, that's, you know, the purpose is to be forever, right? And we're not training our kids for it. It's kind of like that's my opinion. It's more of an afterthought kind of thing, how we're raising our kids. And even with, my major was sociology, it was about the income and education. It's like, well, we also want to talk about the family too, of like who's taking care of the child?
And well, the other thing to say to that, and this was in talking to several survivors, and what they told me was the ones who did have a father and mother in the home, the thing that they really wanted to see was they wanted to see their dad and mom love each other. And they wanted to see that displayed in the mother and father relationship. And I found that even, you know, I mean, it's so easy to be busy, come back late, and you know, you've got things to do, so you're on your cell phone. I started to really notice my behavior around my wife, and I started to really, you know, make conscious efforts to change. And there was one case where I went shopping with my wife, and I put my phone away, and I didn't look at my phone the whole time I was in the grocery store, and I was like such a small thing, but my wife and my daughters were talking about it for weeks after that. I mean, it just made such an impression on them, and that was such a tiny thing. So for fathers to be aware, what's going to make their children grow up and want to be, you know, like them, or want to be, you know, have hope that a marriage can work, is in how the mother and father treat each other. And so you start, I mean, you know, yeah, I want to get angry right now, but if I do, this is sending a message to my kids that they may not recover from. Yeah. And if we can, you know, work things out and show them that actually two people really love each other, it's powerful in how children develop.
Yeah, and it's those conversations that we have with our wife and men. I mean, we tend to isolate and not want to talk about things. I mean, we have everything on our phone. Yeah, you know, right. There's the pornography. There's the, you know, all everything's there, and it's so much easier now. I think it's so much easier now to isolate, because before it was just alcohol and sports, right? And pretty much what you did, but now you have that phone. And the technology, and I'm really glad you guys are addressing those issues, because it is a big thing that's going to come up with fathers, with men, with the technology coming, you know, because it's already huge, but even a bigger piece.
When I found that with kids too, you look at, I mean, some of the students that I teach, where they, you wonder what their memories are going to be when they grow older. You know, like, I've got all these memories of going camping with my family, or, you know, all these kind of things that we did together as a family. I got six brothers and sisters, so a bunch of us. But there's all these wonderful memories of going places and doing things together. And now you have kids who just, they don't leave the house. You know, they're on their phones all the time. And it just made me think, you know, like, what are their memories going to be when they're 25 and 30? When they look back on their childhood, you know, what are they going to remember? Getting a certain score in a game, or it's like, you know, like, what is there, you know, that's going to be the fertile ground, you know, for your future, you know, through memories you're creating.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, because, you know, sometimes families come with me and they're in crisis, and they're talking about medication, they're talking about all these kind of, like, you know, last case scenario type things, and the first thing I'll recommend is a game night. It's just do a game night.
Right.
Every Friday, bring out the popcorn and bring out Candyland, Monopoly, whatever the age the child is. But that is, to me, that's the number one thing that you have to start off with.
It's huge.
Of putting away the cell phones and doing something together. And you know, I'll talk to, you know, single moms that are just really overwhelmed. Really, what's one thing you can do with electronics? Can you color together, you know, or with the father? I don't know anything to do. Cut color, you know, play Uno, something. Take 30 minutes out of your life. It's either gonna be 30 minutes of that time, or it's gonna be 2 or 3 hours that you have to take out of work because the kid's in trouble, you know. And so, I think it's just kind of going back to the basics, with that piece, with the technology piece. So.
Yeah. One thing I found too, like living in Japan. You have the fathers who are, they're trying to do the right thing, which is work hard. You know, you give everything to your company. And in Japan, you don't have like company family picnics, or, I mean, it's the spouse and the kids don't come. If you have a Christmas party, it's the employees only. So there's not a whole lot of time, and you, as a father, you're feeling, okay, I'm doing the responsible thing. I'm committed to my company. I'm doing, you know, what I'm supposed to be doing. And then they end up, after retirement, they come home, their kids hate them. Kids don't even know who they are. They don't know their kids. So how can the kid trust anything the father says? Because he doesn't know them. And losing that, you know, where our kids have the confidence that we know who they are. when we look at them, we see them. And then if we say something, they can trust it, or they can at least, you know, marginally believe it. Yeah. But if you don't feel like this person that's giving you advice knows you, why should I trust you? And that takes, you know, that little bit of building, a little bit of effort to maintain a relationship with a child. So that then you do have some foundation to stand on where you can suggest something or you know, give them guidance, and they're much more willing to listen to it. But with so many of the fathers in Japan, it was this horrible. You look back in your life and it's like, yeah, I made Toyota a bunch of money, but my kids don't like me. My wife's thinking about divorcing me. It's, you know, like, what did I really do with my life?
Yeah.
And it's, we have so many men who are ending their lives with so much regret, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's such a, you know, find that purpose. I think it's a big thing with men and being able to find that purpose. And I think a lot of it's with your children, you know, it's a lot of, you know, getting into their lives and being a big influence. And sometimes we don't know how to ask for help or even ask for guidance, you know? So I just really appreciate what you're doing, and we'll be definitely working together on projects and how we can make this bigger and bigger every year. And I just really appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah, so I'm so grateful to be here and have this conversation with you and get to know you too. And I hope that you do. If you can come on the Saturday, come for FatherCon.
Oh, I'll be there.
And yeah, you can even interview people and have them on a future podcast.
That sounds awesome. I'll do that. All right, thank you.
Thank you so much.